most people do when they have a question about money? They ask the internet. Of course, that's what they do. Now, we Gen Xers remember a time when you had to go and get a brochure from a bank branch or, heaven forbid, actually talk to someone. But millennials have grown up in an age when almost anything they want to know is available in a few keystrokes. So what are they searching for? And what does that tell us about their financial knowledge, their financial outlook, their dreams, their aspirations? Joining us to discuss the top personal finance Google trend searches over the last couple of years is Grant Sabatier. He is the founder of personal finance blog Millennial Money, and he joins us from Chicago. Hello there.
Hey, great to be on. Thanks
you for me. You have done this analysis looking at personal finance trends over the course of time. Why did you decide to take a look at this?
Yeah, so I'm someone who, you know, I'm really interested in consumer preferences, and Google search data is just a really statistically valid way to really look at, you know, consumer attitudes and preferences and just their intent. And so I'm obviously really interested in personal finance. And so, you know, I get a ton of traffic on my website, so I know what my readers are interested in. But I wanted to get a sense for the larger market just to see if I could identify, you know, any macro or micro trends just around, you know, how people were searching about money, ultimately so I could write about it so I could get them to my website, but also to understand just culturally and generationally how interests were shifting.
What is the single most searched for question about personal finance?
Oh, wow. That depends on the demographic. So with millennials, it's definitely student loan searches. You know, how can I refinance my student loans? How can I pay back my student loans? For Gen X and baby boomers, it's all about retirement. You know, when can I retire? Retirement calculator. You know, how quickly can I retire? How much should I be contributing to my 401k? So generationally, there's quite a difference just between those topic areas. But by and large, if you wrap everyone up together, debt is by far the biggest, really sort of search area.
is there a bucket of
debt? How can I pay down debt?
Is there a bucket of searches that is kind of pleading, like, or questioning, like, why am I so screwed? Or are people just much more polite than I would be if I was searching online?
There's obviously small buckets of searchers that look for things like, am I screwed? Or, why am I not making more money is a good one.
Yeah.
You know, what's holding me back? You know, there's those people. One of the interesting things to note is about 70 to 80% of all Google searches every day have never been searched before.
Wow.
And so people are searching some crazy things. Long tail searches, which are basically queries that have more than three words in them, have skyrocketed over recent years. So searches are getting more and more granular, more and more specific. And then the crazy thing, because especially in Google, you know, when you're logged into Google Chrome or logged into another browser, you know, your history is being tracked. And so you're starting to get personal search results, especially on your phone, that are based around things that you've previously searched before. So Google starts to get to know you. And then what they actually show is based on what you've looked for before.
One of the big jumps is the search for the phrase side hustle. What do you interpret into that? Is that just because that phrase has become a part of the lexicon, or are people now more than ever before needing to earn some extra cash on the side?
Yeah, no, I think it's both. You know, the biggest reason is, you know, it's never been easier in history to make money, especially online. And so you have people who are reading, you know, about people like me, and other people who've reached financial independence early in life and looking at how they did it. You know, side hustling was such a big part of my own personal story. At one point, I had 13 different income streams.
Wow.
You know, at a time when I was making over 200 grand in my full-time job. But I, you know, nothing was too small for me. You know, I'd watch my neighbor's cat. I was, you know, flipping concert tickets. I was building websites on the side. And so side hustling, you know, it's just, A, it's never been easier to do. So it's just, you know, in the gig economy, you know, it's just easier to make money. And so people are really intrigued by it. And then you have the people who've done well with it, you know, who've been getting a lot more press in recent years. And so then that attracts others who ultimately want to do it as well.
What are some other changes that you've noticed over the last couple of years in terms of what people are searching for on personal finance?
Yeah, the biggest one to me is just the increased interest in financial independence and financial freedom. So I think, you know, people like me, you know, I kind of woke up at the age of 24 and was like, whoa, do I have to do this for the next 40 years? You know, is there some way that I can get out of this rat race? You know, how can I become financially independent? What's a good path? And you see a lot of younger people specifically, you know, questioning just the whole idea of the 9 to 5 and, you know, thinking, you know, wanting to be an entrepreneur and wanting to really do things on their own terms. And so the interest in the financial independence movement has grown exponentially over the past 3 years, which, you know, I've been fortunate to be a part of. But, you know, it's just incredible because financial independence, really the principles of it are exceptionally empowering. And you know, when you understand sort of things like the connection between your savings rate and years to retirement, you know, it's incredibly empowering and you feel much more in control ultimately of where you need to go and how you can get there. And so the interest in those two topics, financial freedom and financial independence, has really exploded. So is early retirement. You know, early retirement is kind of a subset of that. But those are the biggest ones.
How does Google serve up searches in a way that helps the user delineate what is real and helpful and actionable and what is snake oil? What is a product that is going to cost them money that is not actually going to take them towards their goal? Kind of the personal finance equivalent of weight loss fads.
Yeah, Google's actually really good at this. So they kind of, you know, make all their money, like 98% of their revenue, I think, comes from search ads. And so they're incredibly good at connecting sort of, you know, consumer queries and relevant results. And so the biggest way that they do that is the rankings are actually based not only by the content on the website. You know, you used to be able to game the system like 10 years ago. You could just like put a bunch of keywords and rank for anything. But Google, you know, has gotten much, much more sophisticated. And so now they measure things like time on page, and how you're consuming the content and click-through rates. And so they reward websites where people spend a long time. And so those scammy sort of websites don't end up ranking very well anymore because, A, they can't game the system like they used to, and, B, people, you know, people are increasingly discerning online. And so they get on a site and it feels scammy at all. They immediately get off. And so you know, the time on page is quite low, and so Google's not going to reward that. Google rewards websites where people hang out, where they spend more time, ones they come back to frequently, ones that get higher click-through rates. And so naturally, the whole system itself, really the cream rises to the top. Like whenever you look at Google, like the first 10 or 20 results on a page, so I rank, I think, like 4 or 5 on Google for side hustles and best side hustles. And that's because on my side hustle post, you know, people spend like 8 minutes on it. You know, people read through the entire thing. And so Google rewards you for that quality of content. And that's how really search engine optimization works today.
One last question. Regionality. Ideally, you've got insight on Canada, U.S., but if not, what do you notice about the around the world in terms of how people search for personal finance differently?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Actually, probably about 18% of my traffic actually comes from Canada. And so you see a disproportionately large, based on total population, number of Canadians who are interested in personal finance and investing and side hustling and financial freedom than you do in the U.S., which is pretty crazy. Whatever you all are doing up there. Based on,
or we're just more desperate. Size. I don't know.
No. I think you're just more woke, man. I think you're just more tuned in to you know, just the potential that personal finance really has to transform your life. And so, you know, I think you do see larger interest in these topics definitely in Canada, you know, proportionally for your population. Interestingly, there's also a lot of interest in Australia and New Zealand, you know, in a lot of these personal finance topics as well. And then there's a whole group of people, you know, sort of the idea of geographic arbitrage, which is basically moving somewhere cheaper to insulate yourself from inflation, and you know, get a U.S. salary or a Canadian salary and be able to live somewhere like Thailand. That interest in that is exploding as well. So you do see more searches sort of globally for people who are looking to move to cheaper places.
Grant, thanks for the insight on this. It's fascinating.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Grant Sabatier is the founder of the personal finance blog Millennial Money. He joined us from Chicago, Illinois.